campus looks great. Wow, you guys are so blessed. Like, God's favor is on you, man. Amen? This is awesome. But it's only the beginning, though. It's just the beginning. Right? Because God has so much more for you guys. It's really hard to grasp what He will do in you and through you. It's really hard to grasp. But it's not about the size of the church. It really isn't. Okay? It's about what God has done. What God has done in this community and what God will do in the future. Amen? Amen. But obviously, you know, the size has grown, right? That just comes with the territory. It'll grow. But don't focus on that. Focus on what God is doing right now. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I just want to bless New Philly Church right now. Okay, Father, I just bless New Philly in Jesus' name, Father. Father, I pray that you have so much more for this community. And I pray that they will get a taste of what you have for this community as they walk with you intimately through thick and thin. In your name we pray, amen. You guys know what that means, thick and thin? What does that mean? Huh? Hard times and good times? Amen? Yeah. Okay. All right. Through thick and thin. Amen? Well, thank you for inviting me again. Thank you. Yeah. I'm so blessed to be here. I mean, New Philly has been nothing but a blessing to me, seriously. I've known Pastor Christian since 2006. And he's been nothing but a blessing to me. And so is his community. And it's really an honor and a privilege for me to stand up here to share a word with you. So thank you. Thank you. You know what? I want to bless Shiloh too. I'm going to bless Shiloh. Father, I just bless Shiloh in Jesus' name, Father God. I pray that she will grow up to be a mighty, anointed, God-fearing woman of God who will love God with all her heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. 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 So, tonight, let's open your Bibles, okay? Let's go to John 13. John 13, verse 18 to 35, okay? Excuse me, I don't have a water here. Is it? I think I forgot my water downstairs. Can you? Thank you. Thank you. John 13, verse 18 to 35. Okay. Now, I'll give you guys about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes to just read this to yourself right now, and as you read, meditate on this passage, okay? Amen? You guys need more time? Good? Amen. So this passage that you just read is actually a night where Jesus was betrayed, and he was handed over to be crucified the next day, okay? And this is a scene where he reveals the betrayer. Amen? To John, actually. Okay? But the theme of this message is actually verse 34 and 35, where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another, and by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Amen. Now, this is what I want to talk about today. Okay, but I have to first develop this message from verse 21 to get to 34:35, okay? So please stay with me, all right? Because it could be a little boring, and it can be a little confusing, okay? But so stay with me, okay? Amen? Okay. Now, in verse 21, okay, we can see that Jesus Christ, he is actually troubled in his heart because he tells his disciples that one of them is going to betray him, right? And verse 23 says that disciple whom Jesus loved, okay, and that was John the Apostle, right? It says that he was reclining next to Jesus as if he laid his head on his chest, right? So think about that picture, right? John is actually laying his head on Jesus' chest right now, okay? All right? From that picture, it tells me that John had a very close relationship with Jesus. Amen? Which is why John called himself the one who Jesus loved. So in his mind, he actually thought that Christ loved him the most amongst all the disciples. And in a way, I kind of agree with that. What about you? Yes. Yeah? Why? Why? Why do you agree with that? Why would you agree with that? You see what I mean as I go further, okay? So, I believe that he was very, very intimate with his heart. Very, very intimate, okay? Which is why, in my opinion, I believe that John's gospel, this is my opinion, okay? It was recorded and presented in a view that came out from the heart of Jesus. Where Matthew, Mark, and Luke was recorded and presented in a view where they were looking into his heart. But John's gospel was actually presented in a way it came out from his heart. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay, so my point is that John's gospel was presented in a very, very intimate view. Okay? And therefore, John, he deeply and intimately knew who Jesus was. Which is why, not like the other Gospels, John's Gospel was recorded and presented in a purpose of identifying who Christ is, to point them to eternal salvation. You get it? So John's gospel was recorded in a very, very intimate way. So therefore, John really, really knew who Christ was. And therefore, he identified who Christ is to the readers to point them to the eternal salvation. You get it? Do you get it? Okay, are you guys a little confused right now? Okay? All right, so. But anyways, you know that John wrote this gospel when he was an old man. Did you guys know this? Did you know that? No? He wrote this gospel when he was an old man, all right? Just like 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he wrote it too. It was right before he went to Patmos Island. He wrote that book too when he was an old man. But anyways, I believe that the gospel of John was written from a very intimate point of view. Amen? Because John was very intimate with his heart. And I'll give you a perfect example right now. Why I believe that John was very, very intimate with his heart, okay? Because if you look at verse 24. In verse 24, we see Peter, okay? whom Jesus called the rock, all right? He's asking John to ask Jesus who the betrayer is, right? And with Peter's boldness, he could have asked him himself, right? He could have said, hey, master, who's the betrayer? Tell us, right? But this was a very sensitive question because Jesus just has told the disciples that one of them is going to betray him. So Peter, being very careful, he asked John, hey, John, ask him who it is. So that tells me that even Peter knew how intimate he was with Jesus, because something he couldn't ask himself, but he would ask John to ask him. Am I making sense? Right? I don't know. Was it because John was very close to Jesus at that time? Is that why? I mean, think about it. Jesus, he tells his disciples, one of you are going to betray me. Right? He spoke loud and clear enough where it got everyone's attention. Right? But in verse 26, he would not reveal the betrayer to anyone except for John. Do you see that? Because if he wanted to reveal the betrayer to everybody, he could have spoken loud and clear. But no, only John heard this. As if Jesus kind of whispered to John. Hey, John, check this out. He whispered to John, right? Nobody else knew except for John. Because when Jesus told Judah, go and do what you're about to do right now, everybody thought Judas went out to buy some more food or give money to the poor because he was a treasurer. He was a money keeper, right? All right? So we can see that John was the only one who knew what was going on. Amen? Why do you think John was the only one that knew what was going on? Why do you think Jesus only revealed that to John at that time? Why? What's your opinion? Why didn't he just... I mean, he tells everyone that one of them is going to betray him, but he only tells John who it is. Why do you think so? Because he doesn't trust other people? Okay. Anyone else? I think we can interact here because it's not a big group. We can interact, right? Why do you think so? Because John was intimate with him. Yeah, that's what I say. That's what I say. I mean, that's my opinion, but I think John was intimate enough with Jesus where Jesus actually revealed to John only. Okay? So that's my opinion. I don't know what the exact answer is, okay? But one thing for sure is that John had the privilege to hear this staggering truth, right? When others didn't, okay? And it must have been very, very difficult for him to comprehend this and accept this truth. Because think about this, right? Okay, Judas, he did kind of act shady sometimes, all right? Especially John 12 with the Mary incident, right? You guys remember the Mary incident, right? But from John's view, Judas was actually one of the disciples, right? Meaning he was their friend. He was their brother. He was one of the disciples that Jesus also loved. Amen? And not only that, he was a treasure. He was a money keeper, which means that he wasn't just loved, but he was also trusted. Okay? So for John to sit there by Jesus and see what's going on, like, to see John see Judas taking off, right, to go betray Jesus, imagine what was going on through his mind right now. Nobody else knew where Judas went,
But only John knew. Jesus brought John into the fellowship of his heart, and he shared something that was very intimate with him. Right? And here's John just looking at this whole thing. He's like, wow. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it's Judas. I can't believe he's actually going to betray the master. Right? But the real complexity of God's will that John had to comprehend, or he had to try to comprehend, was this. Is that as soon as Judas ticked off to betray Jesus, Jesus turned around and said, now I am glorified. As soon as the betrayer was put in motion, Jesus says, now I am glorified. How does that work? How does that work? I mean, we know why he is glorified, right? We know that, right? Because this was the beginning of his darkest hour, and we know why Christ will be glorified, because he's about to hang on that cross to glorify the Father, and the Father will glorify him. Amen? But John didn't really understand that at this time. Okay? So just imagine what was going through in John's mind. Okay? I mean, it must have really brought a big turmoil, his whole internal being must have been staggered by what was going on. Wouldn't you say? No? Am I the only one that feel that way? No? I mean, he is about to be betrayed by one of his disciples that he loved. But he says, now I am glorified. Well, we know why, but John didn't know that at that time, right? So John must have been like really shooken up, right? That is why I believe that this incident has so intensely and deeply, okay, impressed on his mind that what Jesus said in John 13, 34-35, okay, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another, and by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. I believe that that statement that Jesus made, I believe that that, it just shaped John's ministry. Are you with me? Are you guys just trying to be nice to me, or are you guys really with me? No, because when I was preparing this message, I was like, man, am I the only one that feel this way? Right? John was so, that incident was so intensely impressed on his mind that what Jesus said in 34-35, it actually shaped his whole ministry. Okay? And the reason why I say that is this. Because in 1 John, verse 2, okay? He wrote that when he was an old man as well, okay? But that's beside the point. Is 1 John and 2 John is ultimately talking about what it means to love one another in Christ. Okay? Like Jesus had commanded in John 13, 34, 35, okay? Because if you look at 1 John 2, 7 and 8, all right? And 2 John 5 and 6, John uses the word new commandment, which is the same exact word that Jesus used in John 13, 34. And this word is not anywhere else in any of the epistles except for 1 John and 2 John. So if you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, John says, I'm writing you a new commandment, but it's actually an old commandment which you have had since the beginning. And this old commandment is a message that you have heard. Yet, I'm writing you a new commandment. And then John goes on to speak about what it means to love one another in Christ all the way through verse 11. Okay? So when John says, I'm writing you a new commandment, he's actually referring to John 13, 34.
Are you with me? Are you guys bored? All right. Okay. If you're bored, I'll just change the message right away. You guys bored? You guys in the fire? I got fire. Okay. I'm trying to hold back right now. Okay. All right. So, anyways. Okay. And 2 John verse 5, okay, when he says new commandment, he's also talking about loving one another, right? Which also refers to John 13:34, okay? And if you also look at 1 John 3:16, John says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for one another. So this verse perfectly answers what Jesus meant in John 13:34. Because John is telling us just how much Jesus loved us. He loved us enough to die for us, right? Amen? So therefore, we should love one another in the same way. And I'll talk about that a little later, okay? But before that, if you look at John 13:33, Jesus calls his disciples little children. Amen? You see that? And in 1 John, John uses the same exact word several times to his flock. And no other epistles in the New Testament uses that word, little children. Are you with me? Okay. So that tells me that just as Jesus called his disciples little children, John is doing the same thing to his flock. Okay? So looking at all these facts from the Bible, I believe that 1 John, 2 John is the very fruit of what Jesus said in John 13:34-35. What did you say? Because 1 John and 2 John is ultimately talking about loving one another. And he uses the same exact language as Jesus did. New commandment, little children. So, that is actually a fruit of what John heard from John 13:34-35. Amen? Okay? And we got to understand that throughout church history, right? John has always been called as the apostle of love. Amen? Meaning, loving one another in Christ was the very mandate of his ministry. Okay? Amen? And I believe that this happened at John 13:34-35. The passage we just read right now. The whole incident just staggered his mind so much that what Jesus said in John 13:34-35, it actually shaped his whole ministry from that verse. What do you think? Are you guys with me right now?
Yes.
Am I being a little too confusing right now? Because
no.
I'm being confusing myself. I'm not. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, guys. Now, before I get to the very theme of this message, okay? I just want to emphasize one thing, all right? When we are studying the Bible, you got to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Amen? If you don't do that, then that's very dangerous. You got to always let the Scripture interpret Scriptures. Okay? This is what I do. I look at Bible concordance all day, every day. I read over 26, 27 many kinds of commentaries just on the book of John. You see, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, it comes from what you have studied. Usually it does. Yes, you can get it directly. Yes, you can. But usually for me, John 14:26, what does Jesus say? The Holy Spirit will bring into remembrance of all things. of what? Of what you have heard and studied. So what you have studied, from there, the Holy Spirit gives you revelation from what you have studied. Amen? But John 14, 26, it also says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, right? So when you're studying the Bible through all these resources, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through. Because if he doesn't guide you through, that's very dangerous. You know why? Because Holy Spirit is the one who guides you into all truth. Amen? Which is the Word of God. Amen? So all of our resources of studying the Bible, all of our resources, commentary, other people's teachings, reading Christian books, those are all nice. Those are good. Continue on with that. And study the Word. Okay? But all that must be centered around the Word of God. Amen? Because the revelation of the Holy Spirit will come from what you have already studied. Because God does not like shortcuts. This is not some McDonald's drive-thru. Okay? He wants you to study the Word. Amen? Amen? So, Scripture interprets Scriptures. Very, very important. A lot of pastors who are just only into the gifts and the... I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the gifts. I love the anointing. I'm very charismatic. I'm very charismatic, all right? But a lot of charismatic pastors, they don't follow that rule. They just take a scripture and they just interpret the way they want it to. Why? Because they actually demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. They actually let you see it. So when you see the power of the Holy Spirit, now he has the leverage where he can take that verse and interpret the way wherever he wants to, and you'll believe it. Because he just demonstrated it. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I say to that? I say, that is not biblical. That's not biblical. It's got to be a scripture interpreting scriptures. Amen? Beloved, listen, the Word of God is the very foundational pillar of our Christian faith. Word of God. Amen? It is not the gifts and the tongues and the prophecies. It's the Word of God. Amen? If you have the gifts and the prophecy and have dreams, it must be interpreted through the Scriptures. Amen? Amen? So, where am I? So, with that said, let's look at John 13, 34, 35 again. John 13, 34, 35. Because this is the very theme of this message. All right? And over here, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. All right? And the reason why it's a new commandment is because this commandment has never been given before. You see, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourselves, in Matthew 22:39, that commandment was already given in the book of Leviticus. Right? Leviticus 19:18. That was already given. Okay? But when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, that is a new commandment because he has never ever said that in that fashion before. Because he doesn't just say, love your neighbor as yourself, but he says, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have demonstrated my love for you. Understand? Okay? Which is perfectly described in 1 John 3:16. John says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Amen? That's a perfect description right there, okay? And another reason why this is a new commandment is because in verse 35, Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. Okay? If you love one another. All right? Meaning, up to this point, Matthew, Luke, John, all those 12 disciples, they were known as his disciples because wherever he went, they followed him. Right? If he went to Galilee, he went with him. If he went to whatever, they went with him. They slept with him. They lived with him. They ate with him. Right? So obviously, they were his disciples. Right? But now, he's about to be taken away. He's about to take the cross and go to the Father. So he says, look, I cannot be with you any longer. Therefore, How are they going to know that you're my disciples when I'm not with you anymore? And that is, if you love one another, then they will know that you're my disciples. Amen? Right? Are you with me? So, looking at all this, that is why, okay? Hold on, I'm lost here. And also, they will know that we are his disciples when we love one another. Amen? Right? So how do you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? How is this community is going to be called the disciples of Jesus Christ? Huh? How? Do you want to be known as his disciple? Or do you want to be known as the army of God? Did Jesus say, when you preach very well, when you teach the word very well, then they will know you're my disciples? He didn't say that, right? Did he say, if you pray for people and if they fall down, then you're my disciples? He didn't say that, right? Did he? If you go pray in tongues for 1 hour straight, then they'll know you're my disciples. If you're very accurate in your prophecy, then they'll know you. He didn't say that, right? What did he say? If you love one another, then the world will know that you're my disciples. Okay? Amen? Amen? Amen. So we want to be his disciples. Amen? 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 Right? Right? So, okay? And I believe that the best way to bring in the lost, okay, the best way to evangelize, the best way to bring in the lost is when they see that your community has a different value system than the world. Okay? Of course, you bring the lost by preaching the gospel. Yes, that's good too. But after you preach the gospel, after you bring them into your community, how do you keep them there? Is when they realize, wow, these people are different. They have a different value system. And how is that? Is that they actually really love one another. Do you know what I'm saying? In my opinion, that is the best way to bring in the lost, is by showing them that this community is a community of love. Amen? Because there's nothing more powerful than love. Okay? Right? God is love, amen? Why is God love? Because he is the author of love. He is the one that created love, amen? So if we can just display that love to the world, right? I really think that is the best way to evangelize. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think, yeah? Amen? So here's my opinion, okay? Hey, army of God is wonderful, man. You got to be an army of God to destroy the Satan's kingdom. You got to be. You cannot just be a fluffy, you know, lovey-dovey all the time. I love you, I love you, I love you. No. Army, you got to like really take it by force. You know what I'm saying? Take it by force, right? Right? Army, you need that, right? You need that, right? But if the foundation is not based in love, loving one another, the army of God is nothing but a bunch of hoopla. You know what hoopla means? Maybe you guys are too young to understand these phrases. Hoopla, what is hoopla? Hoopla means like, Pastor Chris, you know what that means, hoopla? How you say it? Something that's just like, whoo! But somebody just trying to make a big deal, but there's really nothing inside. It looks like a big deal, but really, if you open it up, there's nothing there. So army of God, yeah, army, yeah. When you open it up, there's nothing there. Why? Because there's no love. Amen? So to be a true army of God, okay, you got to first be his disciples. And how do you become his disciples? It's by loving one another. Amen? Amen? So then, what does it mean to really love one another? What does it mean? What does it mean? Could somebody give me your opinion? What does it mean to love one another? What does it mean? Does it mean to like take somebody out to lunch? Hey, brother, what's up, man? Hey, I love you, man. Oh, man, you look good today, man. Oh, wow. All right, dude. Yeah. What does it mean? Okay, that's true. But, yes. Covering your nakedness. Wow, that's a very, very spiritual answer. I don't know. I don't even know what that means, but sounds very good. Sounds very good. Okay, can you tell me what that means? Amen. Okay. 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 Good. All right. Okay. Good. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, first of all, biblically, just like with this guy, what's your name? What Henry said, loving one another means this. John 3:16. This is how we know that love, what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Okay? And Jesus made this statement in John 15:13. He says, greater love has no one than this, which is to lay down one's life for a friend. Amen? Okay, so now we know that loving one another ultimately means being able to lay down our lives for one another. Okay? So then, how does that work in our context? Because in our everyday life, we don't get that kind of opportunity to really, like, I want to die for you, man. I want to die for you. I want to die for you right now. Give me a knife. I'll die for you right now. You know what I'm saying there? You don't get that. That doesn't happen in our... Maybe if you're North Korea, maybe if you're in the Middle East, yeah. Maybe if you're living in the days of the Book of Acts, early church, yes. But in our context, in this comfortable, westernized context, right? We don't get that kind of opportunity. Amen? So how does that work in our context? Laying down our lives for one another, how does that work in our context? How does it work? How does it work? Tell me. Sacrifices. Okay, good. Good answer. Good answer. Good answer. One more? Huh? Who said that? Oh, yeah? Investing. Very good, very good, very good. Okay. Okay, in my opinion is this. Jesus already said it. Matthew 22:39. He says, love your neighbor as yourselves. Listen. He didn't say, love your neighbor. But he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, if you know that God loves you, then you will love yourself. Because you know that God loves you. Amen? But if you don't love yourself, that's a whole other story, okay? But if you realize how much God loves you, then you will love yourself. And just as much as you love yourself, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. What does that mean? It means to consider your neighbor's life, his values, his thoughts, his interests. Consider that just as important as you consider yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? Amen? Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Okay? So if you truly understand Matthew 22:39, that commandment is a very, very radical commandment. Can you love Henry? Can you love him as you love yourself? Can you? Yeah? Man, hey, you know what? Praise God. Hallelujah, man. Hallelujah. But I'm going to be straight up honest, man. I love Pastor Christian. I've known him for almost 10 years. You know, he's my brother, my 동생. I love him. But you know what? I don't love him as I love myself. I don't. Sorry, bro. I don't. You know why? You know why? You know what? It's really good to think positive, right? You know, I have faith that I could love my brother like I love myself. It's really good to think positive, but sometimes you got to face the reality, man. I'm not trying to sound negative here, okay? But the truth is, we are human beings and we are all selfish. We are all selfish. Do you know what I'm saying? We are all selfish. That's true. So in our selfishness, how are you going to love your brother as yourself? Right? So, for us to really actually go and do that, you know what must have happened? You know what must happen inside of us? There has to be a supernatural power of God transforming our inner man, which is called the born-again experience. Born-again experience by the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless that happens, you will never love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Amen? Because it is beyond our abilities, okay? But when we begin to understand and intimately experience His love in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, then what is impossible with men, it is possible with God. Amen? So you gotta let God love through us. Amen? Okay? So, if we want to love our neighbor as ourselves, then we must depend on His love to be displayed in our lives. Because there's nothing good in us to be displayed. We are all selfish. Amen? But with that, there must also be a practical application that we gotta do. You know what that is? Okay, you're praying, you're reading the Word, you're depending on the Holy Spirit to love through you, okay? But with that prayer and with that meditation of the Word, there has to be a practical application that we have to apply in our lives, intentionally. You know what that is? It's Matthew 7:12. Go to Matthew 7:12. Matthew 7:12, Jesus says, "Do to others what you would have them do to you." You guys read that? Hey, amen? You all right, man? What happened? You got into a fight? What happened? Huh? You got hit by a car. Wow. Are you okay? Okay. You know what? I've never been hit by a car in my life. I've been shot twice, been stabbed once, but I've never been hit by a car. Yeah, I've never been hit by a car, man. So somebody said, I got hit by a car. I'm like, wow, how does that feel? You know, getting hit by a car, dude. What's that? Is that the special? Okay, all right. All right. So Matthew 7:12, he says, "Do to others what you would have them do to you." So before you say something or do something to other people, you do it in a way how you would like them to do unto you. Understand? That is a practical application that we must apply in our lives when we love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen? Amen? And this will become very natural for you when you encounter the love of God. Okay? Amen? First, you receive His love, right? You receive His love, and then you love Him back, right? Right? And then that love overflows. Amen? So when you encounter His love, when you start to love Him back, it's going to overflow out of you. It's going to flow into other people. That's what's called the supernatural work of God. Amen? So we got to depend on Him. Okay? And I believe that New Philly, okay, you guys have came a long way. I know this, man. I've known him since the beginning. I mean, I know when Pastor Christian was about to take over this church, a lot of attacks were coming against him, but he would stand because he knew it was God's will. And I seen him make breakthroughs after breakthroughs after breakthroughs after breakthroughs. Breakthrough. Now it's like, now home was like a king now. You know what I'm saying? You guys, no, seriously. Hey, I've known that man when he was nothing. All right? I mean, not like that. No, I've known that man when he was not a pastor. How about that? All right? All right? But the Lord just poured into him, man. And when he took over this church, and trust me, it wasn't his ambition that wanted to take over this church. He actually didn't even want to take over this church. But the Lord kind of pushed him in. And he knew it was God's will, but because it was God's will, the enemies were attacking him. But he just would stand, right? And this church has came a long way. And after he met his beautiful wife, Erin, after they got married, that's when everything just started just happening. Trust me, I know this. I've seen that man come through. I've seen it happen. I watched it from far. I watched it from close. I saw it, right? And now look where you're at now. Look at this. It's just beautiful, man, right? I also resided at his wedding, which was God's will too, right? Because Dave was actually out of town that time, so... But anyways, that was God's will, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. But anyways, this church has came a long way, man. All right? And like I said, this is just the beginning. Okay, I tell by the word of God, this is just the beginning, man. God's got so much for you right now. It's really even hard for me to grasp what he's going to do in you and through you. Amen? Okay? But I believe that New Philly, all right, you guys came a long way. You guys have came to a lot of maturity. You guys have matured so much, right? But I believe that this commandment that Christ says, love one another as I've loved you, and by this, everyone will know you're my disciples. I feel like this scripture is for you guys. Well, actually, I can apply the scripture to every church, all right? I can. But as I was praying for New Philly, this is what God gave me, all right? Okay? You know, New Philly, honestly, like, from a third-person point of view, New Philly, it's like, man, so much happening in that church, full of the Holy Spirit, people are happy, excited, army of God, it's all good, man. You know, it's just, people just love it, you know, all right? But I'm not saying that you guys don't love one another. That's not what I'm saying. But if there's more love one another in this church, like more abiding, like really loving one another, right? All that happening will be solid. It'll be like, there'll be like an iron in there, iron. But it will not fall. You know, all that, ooh, 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 but there's an iron in there, it's not going to fall. It's giving that balance. Bam, you know, it's not going to fall. You know what I'm saying? You know? I can't really express that. How would you express that? How would you express that? Can you express that? Can you? What? Okay. All right? So that's what I feel right now. Amen? Let's pray.